This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Great FM. I'm Mahalia, your host, and it is time to unpack another topic of conversation that's got the HR world by its horns: data and privacy. You know, unlike any other time in history, HR as a business function sits with this enormous amount of data. And it's all really private, sensitive information when you think about it. You know, data on how people work, collaborate, perform, learn, and depending on the tools that you've got rolled out within your organization, we're even talking about data about how people feel. And what's more, that data isn't just sitting in systems, right? It's not inactive. It's actively shaping decisions made by HR and the organization at large. And while this data-driven approach offers objectivity and arguably more personalized employee experiences, it also raises its fair share of concerns, especially when it comes to trust, when employees don't know what's being tracked, how it's being used, or even where the line is. So what can help? Of course, regulation. In India, the Digital Personal Data Protection Act, or DPDP Act, is a legal framework that signals how organizations collect, process, and respect employee data, is now under sharper scrutiny than ever before. So today, we're going to unpack how HR can build a data-driven function that employees actually trust. And helping us do all of this is Lipika Verma, Vice President, Human Resources, International Operations, Schneider Electric. Welcome, Lipika. Thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Ahalya, and thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. You know, it's leading voices like yours that can really help us find some clarity in the chaos that technology brings with it every single day. And I want to start by exploring what a data-driven HR function actually looks like in today's day and age. What kind of data, by and large, would you say is really being used and for what purposes?
Sure. Thank you for that question, Ahalya. And, you know, you spoke about data-driven HR function today. And today we are essentially talking about moving HR from an intuition-led to an insight-led decision-making. And if you look at it at its core, it really means that every key people decision that we are taking for the business, whether it's hiring, retention, performance, engagement, is supported by data rather than just experience or instinct, as we used to call it earlier. And therefore, if we were to look at data which is being used today in HR, we can categorize it into three broad categories, if I may. One is around, you know, the workforce data, which is more descriptive. This is more like a foundational data for us. Anything related with, let's say, headcount, attrition, diversity metrics, internal mobility, so on and so forth, basically answering what is happening in the organization. The second can be in terms of employee experience data. And this, I feel, is extremely critical for any organization when it relates to engagement surveys, any kind of sentiment analysis, pulse checks, in terms of how employees are feeling and why are they feeling that way? Mm-hmm. And the third is also with respect to performance and productivity data, where we are looking at performance rating, maybe skills, the proficiency levels against each skill that an individual has, something related with learning progress, and, you know, increasingly output-based productivity indicators. So basically, if you look at various data points that I spoke about, it is just not about collecting data, but also about that real shift where we are saying, how is the data going to be used? Are we looking at predictive analytics? Are we looking at prescriptive insights, which act as guiding actions? Or we are actually talking about, you know, personalized action at scale, where we are using data to tailor employee experiences, their own career journeys, or the benefits, rewards for them. So I think if I was to talk about a data-driven function today in today's context, it means integrating multiple data sources into a single narrative, so to say. And I strongly feel that if I was to look at the goal for human resources team, in order to make HR more, let's say, proactive, more strategic, and more closely aligned with business outcomes, while still keeping the human element at the center. It is all about data that we are talking about today.
Yeah, and I mean, that brings us to today's conversation, because if we're talking about those three categories, there's definitely a need for regulation and just some kind of guardrails around how this data is used, right? So now that we've got that answered, I want to also get your perspective on how, you know, adopting this data-driven approach has changed or morphed the relationship between employees and the HR function? And has it triggered a change in employee behavior at large, Deepika?
I think, Ahalya, this is a great question, because this is where the real shift is happening in HR. And it's not just in HR, but in terms of how employees are perceiving HR. And that's the most important thing. Now, firstly, in terms of relationships, there's been a move towards, you know, bringing in greater trust. But at the same time, we also bring in greater scrutiny, right? So on one hand, employees are appreciating that decisions, whether it's related with promotions, performance rating or rewards, are becoming more transparent and less subjective. And data is bringing a sense of fairness and consistency. On the other side, like you mentioned, it has also made employees more conscious of how their data is being used today. So expectations around privacy, transparency, let's say ethics, have gone up significantly. And employees today, they really want to know, what is the data that is being collected by the team? How is it going to influence the decisions? Whether the team is using that data in a responsible manner or no. And therefore, HR has to evolve not from just being a data-driven to being data-responsible and trust-centric. So that's a big change that we are trying to drive. And therefore, you know, there are two sides of data as such, mm-hmm. and data-based HR decisions. So I would say that the shift is definitely influencing employee behavior, and in some important ways, really increasing ownership of careers, where employees have access to dashboards, different kind of skills data. More feedback-driven culture is being driven through the organizations, and also the visibility element, where clearer metrics and goal tracking often align with the outcome. They have a strong alignment to the outcome. Mm-hmm. So I would say that there are two sides of data usage there, and it has to be handled very, very carefully. And a highly data-driven environment can also create that pressure where employees feel over-measured or reduced to metrics. So I think as an HR leadership team, we also need to be very sure about the evolution of data in our day-to-day usage as HR, but it should come with a lot of responsibility. Data is, while it is reshaping the HR-employee relationship into one that is more transparent and insight-led, but the differentiator is still how human really feel that, how the experience is there, or how the data is bringing some kind of health to the employees at large.
You know, it's such an interesting conundrum though, right? Because in my opinion, at least, it kind of seems like they're two sides of the same coin, this deepening or erosion of trust. It's almost like it is, some of it is collateral damage, and then some of it is a great surprise or a great positive that comes out of this data-driven approach. So I'd like to get your perspective on managing or navigating that nuance as well, right? And has there been a very evident deepening or erosion of trust as a result?
Absolutely. And I agree with you, Ahalya, because I think there are these two things. One is data-driven HR has both the potential to deepen trust, and if not handled well, it can even erode it, right? And we are seeing both play out in organizations today. So when we talk about deepening trust here, what we are saying is when data is used transparently and fairly, I think it really removes the ambiguities from people's decisions. So people are then very clearly understanding that promotions are, let's say, merit-based, or feedback is more objective, or biases are being reduced. But on the flip side, and that is where the delicate part is, that it can just erode trust in some ways, right? So employees may start feeling that they are being constantly monitored, or the data is being collected without any strong, meaningful purpose, so to say, or decisions are being made only on metrics without context. And that is where there is this entire sense of surveillance, like, you know, HR is using that data, but they are not using it for our support. And that's the time the employees start feeling that they are being reduced to a number, and the trust actually starts to dip in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the real differentiator is not about, are you data-driven, but it is about, how are you data-driven? How are you really using the data that you are taking from the employees for the best enhancement of careers for their employees, and also using to the best of organizational advantage?
Yeah, but you know, that's the thing, is being an HR professional right now in a data-driven HR business function can't be an easy place to be, Lipika. So I guess I'd also like to get your play-by-play when it comes to, or like recommendations, right, for HR professionals, managers, even leaders, when it comes to really preserving and strengthening employee trust in the age of data. I'm sure there's a long list of absolute no-nos, but what falls into your list of to-dos?
Yeah, I actually love this question as an HR leader, because this is where intent has to translate into real action on the ground, right? And if trust is the goal, then being data-driven needs a very deliberate playbook, I would say. If we were to look at it, breaking it into different parts, I think one is around starting with a clarity of purpose, you know, in terms of how are we going to use that data. One needs to be very sure as an HR leader and very explicit about the fact that, why are we using that data? You know, are we using it for improving employee experience, or for any business outcome, let's say? Or would I be comfortably explaining this openly to employees? So I think that's super important. The second is around, let's say, the practice, practicing of transparency, because I think we shouldn't let data feel invisible, or, you know, employees should understand, why are we kind of using it? We should be very upfront about what is the data which is being collected, how frequently is it going to be collected, and how it will be used or how it will not be used. So I think we need to be very transparent as HR leaders. Also, we need to kind of humanize the interpretation. I am a strong believer of the fact that you can't just look at the data and do your decision making. I think there has to be a little bit of weightage given to the context, you know, the human side of it. And therefore, I'm saying that we should really humanize the interpretation. The next would be around shifting from, let's say, a monitoring to enabling element through data. So what we are trying to do is really position data as a support system and not as something which will just kind of be used as a surveillance tool or as a tool to make sure people are doing okay. So I think we should enable through the data that we are collecting, because when you are looking at skill-based organizations going forward, or you're talking about a future of work, we really need to make sure that we have skills which are going to be the new currency in tomorrow's context. And therefore, how do you be, let's say, personalized learning paths through skills data that we are collecting? I'm just giving an example over here.
Yeah.
Or if you look at performance data, for example, how do we actually have clearer growth conversations, for example? So I think that shift has to be there. And of course, we have to somewhere close the loop with visible action, right, with the employees, because when we are taking data and using data for employees, we have to make sure that we are able to close loop with some visible actions. So why has the data been taken, and how is it landing finally to employees and for their careers? So these are things that are super important. And lastly, not to miss that we have to build these ethical guardrails. I think that is super important. And it is something which is non-negotiable. So we have to be very clear that we should not be using the data for certain things, right? So that has to be pretty much prescriptive, I would say, in the overall scheme of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, good intent, communication, these things can go a really long way if only they're put into practice as diligently as you just explained to us. I'm also finding this concept, this line, right, between helpful insights and employee surveillance very intriguing. And I think it is, of course, the crux of the conversation from the employee side as well, right? Am I being watched and tracked? Or are you using this data, like you said, for a meaningful end? Who do you think should really be defining that line, Lipika? Is it the HR function or is it the people?
No, I think as a leadership team, what we need to really look at are like broadly four things, right? I think what we need to define is the purpose very, very carefully. You know, we need to ensure that the purpose is very clear and it's communicated very clearly to all employees. So that's the first thing I would talk about. The second is, like I mentioned, how is the data really going to benefit the employee or improve their employee experience within the organization? And that is super important for us, not only to understand, but also to communicate it effectively to all employees. The third thing is we should only collect what is necessary. It has to be limited data that we are having, and it has to be done in a very judicious manner. So I would say it has to be just that data which we are wanting to collect for arriving at a final conclusion. And most importantly, the employees should know that, you know, this is what we are doing. This is where we are collecting data and this is how it's going to impact them. So I think that linkage, if we are able to create, you know, it should be good for both the organization as well as for the employees.
Yeah, I like that answer. I'm satisfied with that. If we can just dive deeper now, pivot the conversation a little bit into the DPDP Act, right, and how it plays into all of this. Since it exists as a regulatory body, I think many organizations will tend to approach it as a compliance exercise, right? Because anything regulatory, unfortunately, always falls into that little bucket of it just being a checklist. Now, is this a good thing to approach it with that kind of diligence? Because obviously, if it's a checklist, it's compliance, it's something they have to do very carefully. So is it a good thing? Or do you think that kind of approach will result in them missing something big if they just stop at that?
So in my view, I think compliance is absolutely necessary. You know, there are these laws that you will hear about in Europe or in US, which are very, very strong in terms of GDPR. And, you know, of course, India, this is the DPDP Act, which came in 2023. And compliance, to my mind, is absolutely necessary. You know, this particular act has done something extremely important, and it has really force the organizations to take data privacy seriously, especially in the HR context where we deal with like really highly sensitive employee information. So things like, I would say, clear consent mechanisms from employees, getting data, you know, from a minimum required perspective, defining data retention policies, and also a stronger governance and accountability. I think these are three, four things which I feel are super critical. And compliance ensures that a baseline level of trust and protection is there for any data for employees. And I think as organizations, we should be complying with this act and really making sure that as experts, we need to make sure that we understand the act very well and also follow it to the T. So that's where I would leave it. And of course, you know, every company needs to be very thorough with these regulation and statutory compliances which have come up. And that's how they get the real opportunity to move from a compliance to trust leadership, I would say. Because when you comply, you also gain the trust from the employees of the organization.
You know, from an HR leader's perspective, I think it would also be interesting to hear from you about what the most immediate changes the DPDP Act demands and how HR functions really handle employee data. Are there any specifics or nitty-gritties there that you would like to bring to the fore right now?
I think, again, a good question. And I think many companies are working in that direction. But from an HR leader's perspective, I would say that it's just not a policy shift. It's basically kind of an operating model shift in how we handle employees' data. And I think there are different elements to it. One is that it needs to be an explicit form of data. We have to take a consent. It becomes very central. The consent has to be very clear with the employees and so on and so forth. The second piece is around, you know, really the purpose limitation. Like the act really pushes to collect only what you need, right? And that is super important because as HR team, we must reevaluate all the data that we need just in case needed data should not be collected. Only the required amount of data should be collected. And also we should avoid repurposing data without fresh consent. And I think we also need to have a very stronger data lifecycle management in place. So these are some of the things I would say that is extremely important from an HR leader perspective, because employees' rights are also now actionable, right? We know that as per the Act, there is these rights which have become actionable, and therefore we need to be super compliant and super careful in terms of what we are collecting as an organization. And therefore, this entire Act actually introduces a new layer of accountability and responsiveness. And that's where I think we as HR leaders have to thoroughly understand how this governance model is coming into place and how we should make sure that we follow it to the best possible extent and really make sure that we keep our employees abreast of what are these changes happening and also be very, very transparent with them overall.
You know, Lipika, what really stands out to me, at least through this conversation, is it seems that you're obviously emphasizing that trust be the center of everything, right? But I want to understand how that plays into the strategic day-to-day of the HR function. Does a foolproof trust-first data strategy actually exist? And if it does, what does it look like?
Yeah, I think you've come up with a very, very powerful question over here, Alia. And I think a foolproof trust-first data strategy exists in the absolute sense because trust itself is dynamic, right? It is built over a period of time. It's built continuously and can be tested at any point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What does exist is very intentional blueprint in terms of what one that makes trust the starting point and not an afterthought. So that is extremely important for us to understand as HR leaders. I also feel that a trust-first HR data strategy, if you were to look at some of the design principles, like I mentioned, it has to be transparent. People need to know what are we doing and why we are doing. We need to really look at what's in it for me, for the employees, right? In terms of value exchange has to be very clear. We also need to make sure that human judgment always complements data, to the example I was giving earlier in this conversation, that it can't be just the data, you know, really linking us to take a decision. And from that perspective, we have to contextualize it. We can't be applying data very blindly. So we have to look at context, conversations, so on and so forth. And lastly, I strongly feel that we have to have a strong ethical accountability and a guardrail around that. So I think while using data as an HR leadership team, we have to be very, very mindful of all these things in order to move forward with a lot of trust and transparency when it comes to interacting with employees and making sure that whatever we are doing with the data is used in the best possible way to their advantage as well as to the organizational advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't thank you enough for being here today on the podcast. This has been such a rich, practical conversation that I think many HR professionals listening in today will benefit from greatly. And as we end the conversation, Lipika, I think I have one last question for you just to hit the practicality, take it to the next level, right? If you had to give HR leaders just like one principle, your golden rule, let's say Lipika's golden rule to follow as they build these data-driven practices, build a data-driven HR function, what would it be?
Yeah, I would keep it very simple, Ahalya. I would just say that use the employee data in a way you would be fully comfortable explaining to that employee clearly, honestly, and without hesitation. So if you follow that principle, and this is the only principle, you will be fine with that. So I would just leave it there that use the data in the way that you should be fully comfortable explaining it to the employees. So just be honest, just be clear, and just be as transparent as possible. I hope that helps.
Absolutely, as has this entire conversation. Thanks so much for being here, Lipika, and for joining the Great FM conversation. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today.
Thank you, Ahalya. Lovely being here and discussing on this super important topic. Thank you very much.
Yeah, really important, everyone. So I hope you've taken copious notes. We'll be back with another conversation, very relevant one to the world of HR. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay happy and keep centering trust because, you know, at the end of the day, that is the most valuable currency, no matter what business you're in. So take that with you and we'll be back soon.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.